This morning, the truth source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Hosanna Saves Now. Today's message is based on Psalm 118 and John 12. But let us open with prayer. O Lord Christ, as you once entered Jerusalem, enter our hearts this day afresh. As you once set your face toward death on a cross, help us this day to walk with you to victory. As the children once cried, Hosanna, to bless you, enable us to confess you openly as our Lord and Savior. Grant us your presence by the power of your Spirit, that our worship and our lives may truly honor you. Amen. So this Sunday preceding Easter, Palm Sunday is a very special day. Jesus was at the top of his earthly game. The people adored him, while the rulers plotted a way to get rid of this troublemaker from Galilee. We all wished for this moment of glory, our 15 minutes of fame, and this was such for Jesus. So turn now in your Bibles to Psalm 118. We'll read verses 1 and 2, and then 19 through 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. And going to verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We celebrate this day as Palm Sunday, sometimes Passion Sunday, or the Triumphal Entry. All are right and all relate to each other and overlap to a large degree. And this begins a week of ups and downs for Jesus as he enters Jerusalem for the Passover festival that leads to his death on a cross and follows with the resurrection on Sunday morning. The events of this day highlight the great love the people had for Jesus, which did glorify him. But for most, it was based on false ideas of who he really was. We look today at the portion of Psalm 118, which is called a praise psalm, which includes Psalms 113 through 118. Jesus and the disciples would likely have sung these psalms on the Last Supper, as this was a common act in the celebration of Passover, when God saved the people, passed over their houses when all the firstborn were slain. A very good reason to offer praise to God. The Hebrew word for praise is hallah, and it is the root word for hallelujah, which is a word of offering praise. The first two verses of this psalm, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. Let Israel say now, his mercy endures forever. This is a great beginning for this psalm. Considering the context of this psalm, to offer praise to God for God's many great and wonderful acts, like delivering the people from the angel of death, this praise should be going out from each of us every day of our lives and not just once a year. A very likely use of this psalm in singing or worship is that the leader would recite the first part, Let Israel now say, and the people would respond with, His mercy endures forever, just like our responsive call to worship. As the pilgrims would approach the city, they would praise that the gates were open for them to enter. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. But this was also a prophetic statement of the triumphal entry of Jesus, as this gate can refer to the gate of Jerusalem, the gates of heaven, the gates of the temple, or that Jesus himself was the only gate leading to salvation from John 10. And then to verse 21, I will praise you for you have answered me and become my salvation. Here refers to the saving power of God through the history of the people of Israel and also indicates that the one yet to enter, Jesus the Messiah, will be the final path of salvation to all people. Jesus was rejected by the Jewish leaders and indeed most of the people. The stone which was rejected but has now become the chief cornerstone in God's plan for our salvation. In case you do not know what a cornerstone is, in the period of grand building, buildings that were built to last lifetimes, every new building had a large stone placed in the most prominent corner with an engraving of the date and or purpose of the building. It was there for future generations to see and understand what this building means, as well as the pride that the builders placed in this effort. The life and mission of Jesus Christ was not for a moment, but for eternity. And God was here exhibiting his great pride in his only begotten Son. And then to verse 25, I pray, O Lord, save us now, I pray, O Lord. Can also be more accurately translated in Aramaic as Hosanna. It is used here as a prayer of request instead of acknowledgement. From Luke's telling of the events, Jesus was asked to quiet the crowds and children as they cried this out loudly. But Jesus replied that the children would not, the very stones would shout it out. Now we will address verse 26, which appears in our gospel lesson today at that time. But now let us focus on the conclusion of this selection in 27. God is the Lord. He has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. The people would sing or recite this as they entered through the gates praising God. And let's take a brief moment to think about these words. Again, these are words we should be saying every day of our lives, for they are not only true, but should be a part of our faith in God's influence in our lives, as an acknowledgement of God's goodness that he deserves our praise. So now let us turn to our gospel lesson from the Gospel of John in chapter 12, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 16. This is John's telling of Palm Sunday. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, They took branches of palm trees and went out to him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, that they had done these things to him. Now, most of our understanding of this Memorial Day comes from a composite of the four Gospels. Each tells the same story, but with slightly different accents. John's is the shortest, but really cuts to the bone of the issue, the important parts in just a few words. There was a great multitude at the Passover feast. The population of the people swelled to many times the norm. It is as a Jewish responsibility to attend, even if only once in their lives. The crowd was immense, and into this rode Jesus quietly, for there was no way that he could speak over the shouts and cries of the people. These people were attracted to Jesus for different reasons. Many had heard of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. They simply wanted to see who was responsible for this miracle. And these were the sightseers and the curious. They acknowledged the great miracle, but did not understand what it meant. There were believers who had come to accept Jesus as a Messiah long before this day. There were the skeptics, unbelieving but still amazed. Many came into Jerusalem with Jesus, while many already in the city came out to meet him. Two waves of people in opposite directions melting together around the person of Jesus. They cut palm branches from the trees to wave and lay in the path as a royal reception. Now, other accounts had people laying their cloaks as well, and they said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the Lord, the King of Israel." William Barclay, being British, equates this with the royal shouting of "God save the Queen," as it is done there. By shouting Hosanna, we have two reasons. First, it is a direct quote from Psalm 118, which we read earlier, and it is what the people would have been singing as they approached the gates. But this time, this very moment, they felt that they could see God's salvation before them in the person of Jesus. Once in a lifetime event. They weren't simply reciting scripture, they were actually living it. And Psalm 118 figures in the Jewish history at two other great events. When Nehemiah had rebuilt the walls and the temple and the people could worship again, and when Simon Maccabeus returned in triumph after defeating the Syrians and re-establishing the nation. Most of the people saw this in the same light. Jesus as God's anointed, the Messiah, the Deliverer, Jesus as conqueror. All this was and is very true. But at this time, the people did not understand. When Jesus heard what the people were shouting, shouts of praise, he should have been very pleased, for this was his moment of glory. His time to shine brighter than anyone else. This was to be, from a worldly view, the pinnacle of the ministry of Jesus. But their shouts also hurt Jesus, for they were looking to him, the very thing that he had stated, and he was not to be. And that he refused to be. This was a time of great excitement for Jesus and the disciples, but for Jesus, it was also a time of sadness, for they did not yet understand. Jesus did one thing to dispel this thought, but no one noticed. Jesus rode upon the back of a donkey and not a horse. Now, first, this fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah 9, that the Messiah and God's anointed would come on the back of an ass. Secondly, when a king went out to battle, he would ride a horse or a chariot. The king would return on that same horse if victorious, to the rousing welcoming of the people. But when someone came in peace, they would ride the humble donkey. There are numerous evidences of this in the Old Testament. For Jesus, this was a deliberate attempt to tell everyone that his kingdom was to be one of peace and not the earthly warfare the people were proclaiming instead. Jesus was facing what we would call today a mob of hysteria. Now, up until this time, Jesus refused to acknowledge publicly that he was the Messiah. On this day, it was fully exposed. Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a hero when in reality he was an outlaw, a wanted man in it by the Jewish authorities that wanted to kill him. And any other would have stayed away or at least come in quietly through a side gate. But Jesus came in full attention. He accepted the praise of the people as it was duly his, even knowing that they would soon turn against him. The Jewish authorities were utterly frustrated. If they arrested Jesus on the spot, they would have a riot. If they say nothing, it only gives credence to Jesus as at least a prophet, but it had gone well past that at this moment. If nothing else, this speaks to the courage of Jesus, for Jesus knew what was to come and why. Yet Jesus goes into the center of the storm. Jesus came to the world because God so loved the world. God came to us in the person of Jesus, and let that sink in for a moment. We were not summoned to God. We were not called to his palace to pay our respects, but rather God came to us. God reached out to us for our salvation, not his. This is unheard of when a higher authority goes to the lowest of the low, but God did. Why? Because he loves us. God desires us to be saved. And many see this as a moment of good before the ultimate of evil in the life of Jesus, an interlude of sort to pay Jesus back for what was to come. In reality, this was an act of courage to focus every eye upon him. This was really God's last appeal before the end. This was God, through the person of Jesus, telling the people to wake up and to listen, to open their eyes and hearts to the love of God, to accept what God offers. We now know that the people were too hard-hearted to accept. We close this lesson with what was going on with the disciples. His disciples did not understand, but after Jesus was glorified, they remembered. Can you imagine how you would feel seeing your master or some other that you held in high regard being exalted by a huge throng of people? It would be exhilarating. You would feel the utmost joy at that moment. But were the disciples uncertain or having mixed feelings? During his entire time with the disciples, Jesus always took a low profile. He took the back seat position. Suddenly, this is a different Jesus, stepping out in front, absorbing the shouts of the people. This was different. And hadn't Jesus told them on the road to Jerusalem that he was going there to die? We do not know what the disciples actually thought on this day. John may be putting the entire week into perspective as an afterthought, trying to balance the triumphal entry with the pain of the cross and the joy of the resurrection. Have any of you ever had a week or other short span of time when these emotions ran together? Have you ever had something happen that you could not understand the why or the where? And this is what was happening to the disciples this week. We learn they were hiding in the upper room, afraid to come out. And then in Acts we find them gathered in the streets of Jerusalem, shouting out the gospel of Jesus to the multitudes. We will have times of mixed emotions, fear, and pain, followed by a brighter moment. But we will never experience what they did on this week in person. In the world we live in now, we face many problems, mostly caused by human error and Satan's influence in our lives. We live in a cloud of deception because we will not make the effort to ascertain truth, but accept what we are told. Now is the time that we must awaken to the grievous sin all around us and focus on Christ. Satan's best weapons against God and us is distraction and confusion, and our world is full of it at this time. We must be looking forward to how God wishes our lives to proceed in this, in his will and in his way, and not ours. The people cheered with Jesus, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Some may have just been quoting a familiar verse of Scripture. Some may have actually believed what they were saying. None could know what they were shouting was coming true before their very eyes. Hosanna saves now. God has sent the salvation to the earth. The name is Jesus. This is not done for the glory of God, but out of God's love for us, that we will not face an uncertain future, but to know of his plan, for us to believe and obey and to purchase our ticket to glory, not on the back of a donkey, but past the cross, through the empty tomb, to paradise. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you'll find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
All glory, Lord, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children make sweet hosanna sing. Thank you.
perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. I am watching and I'm waiting. I'm looking above and I'm filled this goodness, and I'm lost in His love. For
this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.
From the Jones Funeral Home Studios, keeping you informed. First in the Valley for 80 years, this is News Talk 1400 WZFC, Winchester.